Good morning. Thank you for coming today. Thank you those leading as well. Before we turn to the Word of God, would you join me again in talking to the God of the Word? Lord Jesus, we do adore you this morning. We thank you for the season that we have come through that is named for you, Christmas. Thank you that we are the reason you came, to redeem us, to save us, to bring grace and mercy and peace to our hearts. Lord, as we turn now to your word, we pray you would open our eyes and our ears. Help us to see Jesus, to live for him, to point others to him. We pray all of this in Jesus' precious name, the name of our Savior. Amen. You know, if I'm honest with you, 2019 didn't go entirely the way that I planned. If you're human, you probably have regrets about this past year too. You know, one of the devil's most effective tools to defeat us and keep us mired in failure is to remind us over and over of our regrets. Every day it's like he points to our past and he says, "See, you are nothing but a big failure. You're a phony." All of us know the pain of regrets, mistakes, harsh words, missed opportunities, broken marriage, a painful relationship, something you did or you failed to do. We all have that. But the Bible says we can live with no regrets. Do you want that? I do. William Borden did. When William Borden graduated from high school, the year was 1904. He was the heir to the Borden Dairy fortune. I don't know if you ever heard of Borden Dairy, but up in the Northeast, it was Elsie, the cow, was everywhere when I was growing up. She was their symbol. His parents' graduation gift to him in 1904 was a trip around the world. Imagine that. While in Asia, the Middle East, and Europe, Borden grew concerned for the world's hurting people that he saw. Writing home, he said, "I'm going to give my life to prepare for the mission field." When he made this decision, he wrote in the back of his Bible two words. He wrote, "No reserves." No reserves. Not going to hold anything back from God. After graduation from Yale University, he turned down high-paying job offers. And then he entered two more words in his Bible. No retreats, no going back. Completing studies at Princeton Seminary, Borden sailed for China to work with Muslims, but he stopped first at Egypt for some preparation. While there, he was stricken with spinal meningitis and died. Died within a month after arriving there. What a waste, you say. Not in God's plan. William Borden influenced hundreds, if not thousands, of students to pursue prayer and mission. He led many to Christ. And in his Bible, underneath the words, "no reserves and no regrets," he had written the other two words, "no regrets." No reserves, no retreats, no regrets. All of us would like to live like that, wouldn't we? I know I would. However, the truth is most of us have regrets. How can a person live with no regrets? How can you do it? Where do you start? What do you do? Well, thankfully, God's Word gives us help with this subject. I want to invite you, if you have your Bible, to turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 13 to 15. Now, I'm going to begin by reading verses 12 through 16. Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, says this. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. You know, if anybody had reason for regrets, it was the Apostle Paul. Before his conversion to Christ, when he was still called Saul, what did he do? He persecuted the church. In fact, he stood by while Stephen was stoned to death. He was a thorn in the side of the early church, but he came to Christ, amazingly, and he moved beyond his regrets. How did he do it? Paul teaches us three valuable lessons here in Philippians 3 that helped him live with no regrets and can help you and me live with no regrets. If you are a saved, born-again child of God, the first step to no regrets is this. You must exercise your faith. You must exercise your faith. You must trust the Lord. To live with no regrets, you need to trust God. For faith to benefit us, it must be exercised. Does an exercise program do you any good if you don't carry it out? How many people have exercise machines in their home that are great clothes racks? Many people get started but then don't finish. We need to exercise our faith. And in the same way, faith has no benefit unless you exercise it. Folks, listen, God offers you and me a fresh start no matter where we are in life. Do you believe Him? Only faith in Jesus Christ offers the possibility of a new start. Paul got a new start from Christ, a brand new beginning. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation, a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. Someone has said, though no one can go back and make a new beginning, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. I like that. No matter where you are, you can start from right now and make a brand new ending, no matter what life is thrown at you. I experienced a new beginning of sorts some time ago when I put some shelves together. Do you ever try to put shelves together? Assembly of this shelf unit seemed to be an easy task, and I decided I didn't need to read the directions. I just put it together. Yes, well, the shelves didn't fit properly, so I had to take the shelves apart and start over again, and this time I read the directions first. And things went better. Life is like that, isn't it? Life is like that. Many times we try working through problems only to realize we messed things up. It helps to go back and read the instruction manual for life. What's the instruction manual for life? The B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. I like that. You know, that's our instruction manual. The beautiful part is that God alone gives you an opportunity to start over again. Maybe you're here today and you need a do-over. We need a spiritual mulligan. If you ever played golf, mulligan is when something happened on your shot, whether it hit a tree or a bird grabbed the ball or a gopher or something, and you say, well, we'll give you a mulligan. We'll give you a do-over. Sometimes we need a spiritual mulligan. Faith offers us the possibility of a fresh start. However, it also offers us forgiveness for our sins, our mistakes, and our failures. There's some wonderful promises in the Bible concerning forgiveness. One of my favorite is found in Psalm 103:12, where the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. How far is it from the east to the west? I mean, you can't get there. You just keep going and you don't ever get there. So the first step is to exercise faith in the Lord. The second step for you to live with no regrets is you need to learn to forget. Forget like a child forgets. Forget the past. Paul said, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. I forget it. I don't dwell on it. Those of us older than 50 know the frustration of forgetting, don't we? However, there are times when forgetfulness is a good thing. All of us have experiences that we would like to leave behind, don't we? Consider the experience of Reverend A.J. Jones, a pastor who placed an advertisement in a daily newspaper. This is an experience he would like to forget. Monday, the ad read, the Reverend A.J. Jones has one color TV set for sale. Telephone 626-1313 after 7 p.m. and ask for Mrs. Donnelly, who lives with him cheap. Tuesday, the paper printed, we regret any embarrassment caused to Reverend Jones by a typographical error in yesterday's paper. The ad should have read, the Reverend A.J. Jones has one color TV set for sale, cheap. Telephone 626-1313 and ask for Mrs. Donnelly, who lives with him after 7 p.m. Wednesday, the Reverend A.J. Jones informs us that he has received several annoying telephone calls because of an incorrect ad in yesterday's paper. It should have read, "The Reverend A.J. Jones has one color TV set for sale, cheap. Telephone 626-1313 after 7 p.m. Ask for Mrs. Donnelly, who loves with him." Thursday, "Please take notice that I, the Reverend A.J. Jones, have no color TV set for sale. I have smashed it. Don't call 626-1313 anymore. I have not been carrying on with Mrs. Donnelly. She was, until yesterday, my housekeeper."
Hello.
I would want to forget that. Obviously, Reverend Jones wanted to forget that experience. So what's the solution? Paul tells us, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." Folks, our past can be a nightmare that sticks with us sometimes. No matter what the situation, we must move beyond it. Now, I'm not referring to a person that lives with no conscience. Some people have no remorse for their sins and their shortcomings. There was a young boy who broke a dish, and he went to his mother and he said, "Mother, I did it and I'm sorry, and I hope this will be the end of this matter." Obviously, he wanted to avoid the consequences for his actions. I'm not talking about that. In encouraging forgetfulness, I'm talking to the person who has dealt with his sin and seeks God's forgiveness in a sincere way. In such situations, God wants you to forget the past, and he wants you to move beyond your regrets. He wants to give you a new start in life. Some of you may remember Charles Colson, the aide to Richard Nixon, who was sent to jail for Watergate. But as a result of his experience as a convicted felon, Chuck Colson started Prison Fellowship, which you may have heard of. It is now the world's largest Christian outreach to prisoners and their families. Prison Fellowship has more than 50,000 volunteers working in prisons in 88 countries around the world. A ministry that has blessed millions of people got started 25 years ago because Charles Colson went to prison. God alone is able to take our failures and turn them into successes. I tell people, you know, God has been in the business of taking failure and turning it into success since the Garden of Eden, okay? He knows how to do it. He never wastes a hurt if you will let him write his story with the rest of your life. But the story that matters most to you isn't Peter's, Paul's, or even Chuck Colson's. It's your story. What I'm telling you this morning is that the story of your life has not been ruined by what you've done in the past. Not by your sin or by anyone else's. God's good plan for your life is not buried under the mistakes of our past. God has a plan for your life, a good plan, a wise plan, a loving plan. And that plan is still in effect no matter what you've done. You haven't missed it. He's working out that plan in your life right now, today. Will you believe that? Will you believe that? And will you renew your commitment today to seeking the Lord and following him and serving him with your whole heart, free of the past, no longer weighed down by regret? Listen, folks, none of us can avoid regrets. All of us have made bad choices. We've all disobeyed God at some point. All of us are influenced by Satan's attacks on us. The important thing is to deal with the past the way the Bible tells us to deal with it. To ask God for forgiveness and move on with our lives as we seek to serve the Lord Jesus Christ today going forward. In addition to forgetting the past, I want to specifically talk about one part of the past. We need to forget our failures. We need to forget our failures. Our failures are in the past, so there's a sense in which dealing with the past means dealing with our failures. But failure is a unique breed all of its own. Failure is something that seems to follow us wherever we go. And failure can be both good and bad. John Maxwell wrote a book called Failing Forward. Failing Forward. It emphasizes that failure can be positive. When we fail, we can fail forward. Learn from it. We must be careful about and avoid failing backwards. To fail backward is to fall into destructive failure. You know, in the Bible, we see many, many saints who failed. Noah after he got out of the ark, got drunk, didn't he? After following God, Abram lied about his wife. After becoming the king of Israel, David committed adultery. After building the temple in Jerusalem, Solomon disobeyed God by marrying foreign wives who worshipped pagan idols. After accepting Jesus' call to discipleship, what did Jesus do? He denied Christ. What did Peter do? He denied Christ. I read somewhere that Thomas Edison's experimental laboratory, which wasn't far from where I grew up, it was destroyed by fire. And it was said that Edison responded to that tragedy by saying, are you ready for this? Thank God. Thank God. 20,000 mistakes have been burned up. Interesting. I wonder if you or I had responded like that. So the first step for you to live with no regrets, the first step is to exercise faith. The second step is to learn to forget the past and forget our failures. The third step that God shows us in this passage today is you need to sharpen your focus. Sharpen your focus. I like this logo from Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Get focused. Pursue the prize. Paul says, straining toward what is ahead. He uses that picture of the runner straining for the finish line. What should you focus on? What should I focus on today? Let me suggest to you that you focus on your purpose. Paul is focused on his purpose. In the first chapter of Philippians, verse 22, he says, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Paul's purpose in life was to live for and to serve Jesus Christ and to win the lost. To glorify the Lord Jesus with his life. Folks, that should be our purpose as well. To live for and serve Jesus Christ and win the lost. To glorify God with our bodies. If we don't focus on that purpose that God has for us, it's not likely that we'll accomplish much in life that makes an impact on this world with eternal results. Are you living God's purpose in your life today? I hope so. But if not, you can from today forward. Well, I know we pride ourselves on multitasking. But research shows that we fool ourselves when we think we can accomplish more by multitasking. Multitasking, focusing on several tasks at one time, just slows you down and can paralyze our progress. Here's an interesting fact. William Hinson tells us why animal trainers always carried a chair when they went into a lion cage. Did you ever think about that? We've all seen pictures of them carrying chairs, maybe, or at circuses where they did it. They had whips, of course. They had pistols at their sides, but they always had a chair. Hinson says that it's the trainer's most important tool. He holds the chair by the back and thrusts the legs toward the face of the lion. Those who know about lion training maintain that the animal tries to focus on all four legs at one time. And when he does that, a kind of paralysis overcomes the animal and it becomes tame, weak, and disabled because its attention is divided. And that same thing can happen when we try to multitask and lose our focus. Folks, we must also learn to focus on God's promises. Paul was focused on the promises of God. Look with me again at verses 20 to 22. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. The Bible tells us that in this life, God promises to lead us, to guide us, to protect us, to provide us, and to meet the needs of his children. But it also speaks of the day we will be redeemed and leave this body. It says that for us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that a fabulous promise? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do you believe that? I do. I am told that 2 days before Adrian Rogers, the famous preacher from Chicago, before he died, his good friend Jerry Vines went to visit him. Dr. Rogers told Jerry that he was in a win-win situation. Okay, this is 2 days before he died. He said, I'm in a win-win situation. He said that if God leaves him here, he would be able to see his family and serve the Lord. However, if God carried him home, he would see Jesus. Dr. Rogers saw that as a win-win. The only way to live a win-win life with no regrets is to focus on the promises of God. So if you want to live with no regrets, what should you do? Well, start with choosing a life of faith in Jesus Christ. Be a Christ follower. Don't just read your Bible. Don't just study your Bible. Live it. Live the promises. Then, second, learn to forget the past and forget your failures. The third step is to focus on your purpose and the promises of God. For everyone who comes to Christ, the challenge to move beyond our regrets and the sins of our past is very real. But it's doable if we will follow God's word. The devil, our enemy, the accuser of the brethren, wants us to live in the past, doesn't he? To dwell on the past, to keep regretting our regrets for all eternity. And Jesus is saying today, the devil is a big liar. I died for those sins so that you could be forgiven. Come to me and I will wash your regrets and your sins away. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right, let's apply this personally. The Bible is very clear on what we should do with our regrets. First of all, we need to admit our regrets to God. Get it off your chest. Say, Lord, I admit that 9 years ago I cheated on my spouse. Lord, I was dead wrong. I'm so sorry. Or say, God, I really told a big lie. I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry. I take full and complete responsibility. Or, God, there's something I should have done and I didn't do. But I went back on my word and never got it done. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And God says he'll forgive you. Whatever the regret is, admit it. Clear the air between you and God if you haven't done so already. And if you can, make it right with those who you've wronged. Proverbs 28 says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. So first of all, admit it. Second thing you need to do is accept God's forgiveness. This is hard sometimes because we can't forgive ourselves, right? Some of you have admitted your past mistakes, but you've never really accepted the fact that you're truly forgiven. Deep down, there's part of us that thinks I'm not good enough. My behavior in the past was just so bad. It was so wrong. I'm going to have to earn my forgiveness. And nothing could be further from the truth. When God forgives a person, he forgives them the moment they ask. In Psalm 32, David says, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. When God forgives, he completely forgives immediately. The third thing you need to do is believe that you're really forgiven. Only God can forgive you, and he does it in Christ. You'll never get to the place where you can forgive yourself. You can't. You've offended a holy God. He forgives you in Christ. Case closed, you have to accept it by faith. If we don't believe we're forgiven, then we start thinking God is punishing us every time something bad happens. Some of you know what I'm talking about. When we have car trouble or we get sick, we think, see, the Lord's disciplining me again. He's paying me back for my sins. But that's not how God works. In Jeremiah 31, God says, for I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. He's not thinking of ways to make your life miserable just because you did something bad back in 2006. I love this slide. It shows a Google search, and they're typing in wickedness and sins. And look at the bottom. It says, showing results for wickedness and sins, no results found. Why? Because God forgets them. He forgives us and remembers them no more. Isn't that fantastic? That's the God we have. He's a God of grace and mercy, folks. God isn't waiting to rub it in. He wants to rub it out. If you truly repent, then he forgave you and forgot that lousy sin way back in 2006. Okay? He forgot about it. And all you have to do is believe it. Because it says so right here in the Word of God. I will remember your sins no more. And fourth, you need to stop punishing yourself. Stop punishing yourself. For some, this is the hardest part of all. You've been beating yourself up for years over things that God doesn't even remember. Okay? He doesn't even remember. Isaiah 43 tells us, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Jesus took away your punishment and mine on the cross. Let him take away your regrets. Let him take away your regrets. Every year around this time, people look forward to the playing of one particular football game, the Rose Bowl. It's a big deal around New Year's, right? And I think I mentioned this last year. Back in 1929, Georgia Tech played the University of California in the Rose Bowl. And just before halftime, California center Roy Riggles recovered a fumble. He was hit making a pivot and wound up doing a U-turn running the wrong way for, I think it was 65 yards in the wrong direction toward the opposing team's goal line. And I think one of his own players finally tackled him at the 2-yard line. And then when California attempted to punt, Georgia Tech blocked the punt, scored a safety, giving them a 2-point lead going into halftime. Halftime, the team headed off the field to the dressing room, and they sat in the benches, and Riggles put a blanket on his shoulders and his head down and just cried like a baby. And you can imagine how he felt. Right before the second half started, the coach got up and he said, "Men, the same team that played the first half will start the second." And they filed out, except for Roy Riggles. The coach called Roy, but he didn't budge. And the coach said, "Did you hear me? The same team that started the first half is starting the second half." Riggles looked up, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "Coach, I can't go back out there. I hurt the team. I am so embarrassed. I can't go back out there and face the crowd." Coach Price put his hand on Roy's shoulder, and he said, "Roy, the game is only half over. It's only half over. Get up and go back out there." And Roy Riggles went back out, and everybody who saw it said he played the greatest game of his life in the second half. You know, like Roy Riggles, some of us might be running in the wrong direction. You've made mistakes. You have regrets. Maybe you're thinking, "I don't want to get up. I don't want to try anymore. I can't go back out there. I can't get out there." But God is here, and He's got His arm around you, and He's got His arm around you this morning saying, "Go back out there. This is just the second half. That was only the first half. There's more to go. What's in the past is the past. Get out there and move on with your life." Let me ask you, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Are you headed in the right direction this morning? Because if you're not, you're going the wrong way. And when you die, nobody's going to be laughing about it. Make sure you're headed in the right direction toward the Lord Jesus and His gift of eternal life today. If you'd like to know more about how to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, see me. I like to say it's as easy as ABC. Just admit you're a sinner, believe on Christ, and confess Him as your Lord. That's all you have to do. I want to encourage you today. Don't spend the rest of your life regretting your past. I invite you to do what David did in Psalm 32. Come back to God. Admit your failure. Admit your regrets and give them to the Lord. And accept His forgiveness in Christ. And walk out of here free at last. Free at last. Free from guilt. Free from regret. And free to move on with your life. Let's pray. Father, I don't know everyone past here today. There may be some here today that this was just for them. They needed to hear what Your Word says. Lord, I pray You encourage them today. Help them to take the next step toward living with no regrets, to believe You, to accept Your forgiveness, to pursue Your purpose for their life. Pray, Lord, that each one of us in the coming year will live for Jesus and serve Him. In whose name we pray, the Lord Jesus. Amen.